You sound as if you live on the graveyard. After so much kirtan, you should have a little bit more life, Prabhus and Mandajis. Gopijana Vallava Girivara Dadi Yes, 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 very better. La la la. Om Gopijana Vallava Girivara Dadi. Yasoda nanana Raja jana janjana Yasoda nanana Raja jana janjana Ramuna tira vanachaji Ramuna tira vanachaji Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Prabhupada Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chanda Radha Vrindavan Chanda Sri Radhe Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Because we will really have to end 5 minutes to nine, and I want to say to those of you who are responsible to set up the microphones and the kirtan mandali, that is the place where the kirtan singers and the instrumentalists sit, to come just like jumping in and putting everything up. So I will need a very good timepiece. Can you just tell to me what is the exact time now? Is it super, super ex? 8:14. No pandits disagree. Good. Yeah, I mean, I have this. This is good enough. So, we have chanted the mantras. My dear devotees, please give me your attention. I do know that we are a little bit in a different mental space. Some of you, us, are very touched. Others feel, oh my God, I really missed this chanting. Others may feel also some grief. My heart gets purified. Where was I for all these months? I was so absent-minded and so on. So we are in various states. Some of you look extremely sleep deprived. So all this is making for a very difficult morning audience, but please be here with us. See, I would like to take you into a scene. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting extremely attentively. He was sitting at the feet of his guru, Sri Ishvara Puri, who had promised to him to reveal to him one particular verse from the Bhagavatam that summarized the entire teaching. He said, "Listen carefully. I will now reveal to you the essence of the Bhagavatam." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very curious because he needed a clarification. He had, after his initiation, chanted the holy name, and whenever that happened to him, there was an unexpected reaction in him. He cried, sometimes he laughed without any apparent reason. Then again, it was as if he fell into an abyss of dejection. He feared that his mind had become unstable, if not mad. And he came to reconfirm, is this what happens at initiation? Is this normal? Is this good? And now Ishvara Puri reveals to him a particular verse in the Bhagavatam, which is the conclusion, and it is the foundation of Sri Chaitanya's mission. This is revealed to us in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 7, text 94. Evam Vratasva. Krishna, this is the voice of a dinosauria soon to die. Evam Vratasva Priyanamakirtya. Keshava, can you please do some embellishment here? This is. Evam vrata svapriya namakirtya jatanurago druta citta uchai hasatyato rodito rodkayanti unmadavanrit yatilo kabaya. Please repeat after me. Evam vrata sva priyana makirtya. Now, evam vrata sva priyana makirtya. Oh, I see you all have the... Let's sing this. It's the essence of the Bhagavatam. I mean, we should sing it with some beautiful voice, and you, since I don't have you, you have find out in your distraction machines. Adi Lila 7, verse 94. Yes? Got it? No? Yes? Good. So once again, all together. Evam vatasva priyana makirtya jatanurago druta utta uchai hasatyato roditi rotya gayati unmadavane yati lokabhayam. Ishvara Puri said, quoting the Bhagavatam, when a person is actually advanced, and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is so very dear to him. He's agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs. He cries. He becomes agitated, and he chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. This is the effect of chanting the holy name. It transports you on very high levels of Krishna consciousness. I will read to you a little bit the ongoing text. Mahaprabhu said that he believed in the words of his spiritual master, and therefore always stuck with this practice of chanting morning and evening. Mahaprabhu said there is no injunction to ever stop the chanting. And Mahaprabhu said, by chanting the holy name, I became almost mad. However, after inquiring from my spiritual master, I have come to the conclusion that instead of striving for achievement in the four principles of religiosity, so it's Dharma or economic advancement, like getting a new car and all, a house maybe near Washington and so on, sense gratification, good food and so on, and liberation. Instead of doing all this, it is better if somehow or other one develops transcendental love of Godhead. That is the greatest success in life. One who has attained this love of Godhead chants and dances by his nature, not caring for the public. This stage of life is known as, please listen to this very beautiful word, Bhagavad Jivan, or the life of a devotee. Coming alive in Krishna consciousness will mean that we come alive and our transcendental spiritual emotions awaken, and we feel all these good emotions in relationship to Krishna. This is Bhagavad Jivan. It's the life. So breathing life into our existence means really to start to chant. And I think sometimes even during kirtan programs like this one, we can actually see almost a little spark from that fire of transcendental spiritual emotions entering into our hearts. A little spark. It's called a chaya, a shadow, or an abhasa, of the a reflection of the real thing. You have maybe seen that little chaya, that affection. All of a sudden, you feel, I don't want to do anything else. I'm at the right spot here. Or sometimes you may hide your face a little bit because some emotion unknown to you before and has entered your heart and you don't want others to see. And for certain, I've seen our movement, loud shouting, that is also without, you know, yelling without, the tonality is not right, but who cares, you know, and we yell and shout without public caring for what the neighbor says, you know, we are, yes, this is the essence. My dear devotees, I don't have the quote here, it's in the other book, in the Holy Name Experience notebook. Prabhupada wrote to Satswarup Maharaj a letter where he expresses his thoughts about Krishna the advancement of his devotees. He said, it was somehow 74, if I remember correctly. He said, by now I have given you everything, but I see that sometimes not even the fundamental understandings is there. Which is to become mad for Krishna. Now here the word mad does not refer to that which needs to be treated by the people in the white dress. Here the word mad means an exclusive absorption in something to the exclusion of other things, and Prabhupada ends the letter, I'm still thinking what is to be done. That the point is understood, that we fall in love with Krishna. So if you want to understand what is the main message of a text, the Srimad Bhagavatam is our main text, you need to apply what is known as classical hermeneutics. Don't worry, I won't bother you with so much words. Hermeneutics is a method by which you extract what is the meaning here. And there are six methods you have to apply to find out. And I will only talk about two here. You need to see what is the first major statement of the text and what is the last statement. If they are the same, you got it. That's what the book wants to talk about. The Bhagavatam, as far as the first statement of the Bhagavatam is concerned, there is a man in danger of losing his life. Parikshit, the noble and beloved king, has only 7 more years, and not years, days to die. Our movement was shocked when we heard how His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj revealed the prognosis of the doctor. And I asked him, what exactly does this mean? He says it's between 6 months and 1.5 years. Then my death will come. So we were shocked to hear this. Imagine the whole civilized world who was under the Emperor Parikshit hearing that he had only 7 more days. That's very short notice. So we all know Parikshit Maharaj now wants to know, how do I spend these last days? What is the duty of a man, he says, who is about to die? And what should he not do? And Sukadev replies, and this really one of the opening statements of the Bhagavatam, O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So everyone, wherever they are in their spiritual advancement, they should constantly chant, and this is doubtless, there's no doubt in the scriptures, and you can leave, and it makes you fear less. My dear devotees, death is not the problem. The problem is fear of death. We all will die. It's the most natural thing. But what is before is the fear of death. Will it be painful? Will I die alone? Will I have toothaches or headaches how will it happen? This shakes even the brave, this question. So the final instruction is found in the very last verse of the Bhagavatam. It says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari. This is how Shukadev ends his words. His words will now end. No words will come from him, his mouth. This is the last words which he says. Pranam, pranam, pranam. My obeisances to the Supreme Lord Hari. The congregational chanting of whose holy name, Nam Sankirtanam, destroys all sinful reactions. And the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. And finished. Bhagavatam is finished here. My dear devotees, Shukadev said, please, two things you need to know. To have always congregational chanting going on, and bow down, don't be pride, bow down before the Lord. That will relieve you from all karma and material sufferings. You might ask yourself the question, why are there so many other subjects then, if this is the essence? And the answer is given by Jiva Goswami, that the scriptures have the characteristic of magnanimous souls, good souls who care for others. The scriptures give all types of advices how to convince a forgetful conditioned soul of Krishna's superiority. Just like a preacher, a good-hearted preacher, he will say, well, you know, I give you a health tip. Or, see, I have noted you are a little blocked in your expression. Somehow there's something. You are stuck somewhere. Why don't you, you know, do this? Learn to sing on your harmonium and sing loud, and then your inner obstacles and your psychological problems will leave you. And also, a good soul will try to help on the level where help can be received. Yes, so the scriptures also talk about this. But then Jiva Goswami makes a point. And here, if you have still now not been totally in tune, try to tune in now. Jiva Goswami says that there are also those souls who do not need to be convinced any longer that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that devotional service is all and all. They don't need to be convinced. And I sometimes like to think that this is all of us. We know Krishna is Krishna. We want to go to Krishna. But there's one thing which we are absolutely lacking. One thing, if we would have that, would solve all our problems. And that is to be nourished by a deeply rewarding Krishna conscious experience. Jiva Goswami says, but there are others who don't need such types of instructions to become fully convinced and dedicate themselves. No, these others are, they only need to be nourished to make, to incite the specific flavor of love or to relish their relationship with Krishna. Do you know what the word to incite means? It means to bring something forth. For instance, if I tickle myself, well, it doesn't work if you tickle yourself, but if someone else, we won't make this exercise, but if your neighbor would tickle you, he would incite a laughter. You would laugh. Tickling is especially works with small children. If you tickle, I'm not saying do this, but I'm just bringing your attention there. They will laugh and goo goo goo, and everything is all right for them, because there are and something is brought forth, which is inherent, which is there. So, kirtan is that. Jiva Goswami makes this point, is that thing which you need to do to bring out your specific flavor of love for Krishna, or to relish your relationship. And not just dry kirtan, but an ecstatic kirtan. Like, yesterday there were some really good kirtans. Will you agree with me? There was really, wow. Somehow we were blessed yesterday. It was very, 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 very good. So, there is, I will soon tell you, there is, however, another very important message which devotees need to understand. If you want that your love of Krishna comes forth, you need to hear about those who already love Krishna, how they feel. Jiva Goswami says in Gopal Champu, hearing about the love exchanged between Krishna and his devotees helps to awaken a similar type of love within the heart of the sincere hearer. When you hear how the devotees love Krishna and how Krishna loves his devotees, then you are becoming free from whatever little hesitation you have. I would like to tell in this regard about a devotee in this world who experienced the love of Krishna. He was Madhava, and I like to call him the real Madhava, because he's an ancient Vaishnava who's on not a modern Vaishnava. So Madhava was a kirtan lover, and sometimes he would dance in kirtan. More often than not, he would dance in kirtan. Listen to his style. He really had style, you know. He would put ankle bells around his ankles and then dance. Grrt, 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 and he would dance so beautifully and make such nice sound that people would converge from the villages to see the real Madhava sing and dance. This was culturally acceptable. This was the thing to do at that time. I can imagine if someone would now do this, he would get a letter from the GBC, you know. So I'm not, it is not our culture. I'm not saying all men get ankle bells and dance, you know, like Madhava. Anyways, there was a king in that country. You know, they had this almost village kings. They were not kings like over a huge territory of land. And he was envious on the real Madhava. So he arranged a kirtan festival to which he wanted to invite the Madhava. But he chose a very problematic location for this kirtan festival. It was on the third story of his palace, and he made sure that right under the third story, there were cooks who made prakora in these big vessels of boiling oil. So I think you already get the idea. He invited the Madhava up. He came with his ketan, you know, devotees, the Madanga, and everyone was there. And Madhava began to sing. And as he sang the holy name, his deep attachment for the Lord was awakened in him. His heart melted with ecstatic love. And he began to laugh very loudly. Then he sang extremely loudly, and he began to dance like a madman, not really aware of the location. It was a limited dancing place. And as he became so ecstatic, he came too close to the, you know, to the end of the roof, and because he was so absolutely oblivious, he somehow stumbled over the railing and fell down, and he landed right in the boiling oil where the prakoras were prepared. You know, yesterday we joked about one of the ducks. He's a special kind of duck, and his face is all red. It's all right, it's his species, nothing, no problem. But he really looked as if he cooked pakoras, and then the oil came into his face, you know. Anyone who falls into a pot from the third story of boiling oil is finished and damaged perpetually in his life. Finished means he dies. I don't think he can survive it. But Krishna was also there. Krishna comes in the heart of a devotee who does kirtan, and therefore the oil that evaporated, shop, and the real Madhava was just looking blissfully and continued the kirtan in the kitchen, you know, the makeshift kitchen. He was the real Madhava, you know, the real thing. And when the king saw this, I mean, he really understood that he had committed the greatest Vaishnava aparat, and he begged forgiveness and gave all opportunities to the Sankirtan movement to spread far and wide. This is how Krishna protected Madhava when he was and exchanged love with him. So when we want to make advancement, my dear devotees, we need to best is we need to follow those who love Krishna, because when we hear of their love to Krishna and Krishna's love to them, we become encouraged and want to join this group of ecstatic human beings. This is the next level. Rupa Goswami writes, the devotee should always think of Krishna within himself, and one should choose a very dear servitor of Krishna in Vrindavan. One should constantly engage in topics about that servitor and his loving relationship with Krishna. My dear devotees, do you know that these devotees who are beloved of Krishna and whom Krishna loves are mainly engaged in kirtan? Sometimes we may ask ourselves, do they do kirtan up in Goloka Vrindavan? And yes, I have here a list of a few verses in the Bhagavatam which describe how the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan predominantly do Nam Kirtan. a particularly endearing example. Now time must be, I can lose myself now, but I won't do this. A particularly endearing example is when Krishna is hungry and he tells his cowherd boys, there are these brahmanas, they are engaged in a sacrifice and they have cooked the most delicious food. Go to them and tell tell my names and ask in my and Balaram's names for food. So the coward boys go there and do kirtan. Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Rama, and so on. There is also when Mother Yashoda is making the butter, milk, churning the milk, she is constantly singing the names of Krishna, Krishna Kirtan. The elderly gopis, that's in the 16th chapter of the 10th canto, also they are swaying back and forth doing kirtan. There is kirtan in the morning, there's kirtan in the forest of the cowherd boys. It's interesting, they sing, they give us an example how one type of kirtan can be done. It's done in a long, drawn-out voice. Like yesterday we had this type of kirtan. Hare Krishna. Oh, I'm sorry, voice is not good, but you know, this goes very long, drawn-out. Krishna, Krishna. And the rhythm is really going fast, and Keshava and Govinda all on the drums, and the melody flies totally long drawn out, and we go into it and we pray to Krishna. That's how the cowherd boys do one type of kirtan. It's not the only way to do kirtan. And it's described, the heart is snikta, it is melted. And it's also described, they sing kirtans and melodies which fit the occasions. In other words, they are raga and tiga. You know, the right raga for the right time of the day is done. This is described in the 15th chapter of the 10th canto. Then there's kirtan when Krishna returns from the forest. They sing, they play their flutes, and then is the kirtan of the gopis. The gopis are showering Krishna when he comes home with flowers, and they sing his holy name. That's described in 21st chapter and 30th chapter, and so on and so forth. The holy names are also there in the spiritual world, and these holy names, these love-imbued holy names, which are Krishna themselves, have somehow descended here into the world. And if you glorify Krishna, you will actually somehow feel these love-imbued holy names. Therefore, the devotees who sing kirtan, they should be aware Krishna kirtan is going in the spiritual world. My conclusion for today. Any spiritual scripture, any spiritual process, if it is at all bona fide, aims at something that is called samadhi, of full absorption in the respective object of their tradition. For us, it is Radha and Krishna. And the best or main practice, which is done in the stage of trying to perfect our life, but also in the perfection itself, is Nam Kirtan. Nam Kirtan is thus the essence of all the teachings of the Bhagavatam, and it is best exemplified by the rather spontaneous loving kirtan of the residents of Vrindavan. This is very important for us, my dear devotees, because philosophically, I believe everyone in this temple room is convinced of Krishna. What we need now is an experience, because only the experience will convince us. I remember a discussion with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Radhanath Maharaj had doubts whether or not he should write his book, The Journey Home, the first book. A dying man had asked him to do it, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and you cannot disobey a dying person, obviously. Other of his god brothers had also requested him, but he did not want to project himself out there and was hesitant. And I remember we were in a car, we were driving to Washington, D.C., the home of Mr. President, and we discussed this, and I said, I cannot make, you need to make the decision, but there's one thing I would like you to consider, and that is when Gop Kumar tries to convince that Brahmana, Jana Sharma, you know, to now become fully Krishna conscious, he decides to tell him his experience, what he learned in his spiritual journey, where he met various Vaishnavas, you know, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And because experience speaks so much louder than words, no? When you make an experience, that convinces you entirely and wipes away any remnants of doubts, any hesitation which you might still feel, and so on. So he then, Gop Kumar, brings his own experience. This is what I experienced. This is what I saw. This is what I learned. And Jana Sharma hears him, and at the end of the Qatar, both of them get up and call out Krishna, Krishna, and run into the forest of Vrindavan, and then Krishna appears to him, to them, with Balaram and the cowherd boys. My dear devotees, we need experience. Our movement has lost itself in the head. We just quarrel about different views, how things should be done. When there is a philosophical statement which appears a little bit different, people jump on one side and on the other side. It's not really about the philosophical quarrel. It's about the rasa. You know, the experience of and so on and so forth. We need, but imagine spiritual experience would be so much better. Our movement would be loving. It would be charming. Charming is maybe not the right word here. Attractive, I wanted to say. It would be attractive. The devotees would be compassionate towards each other, kind and forgiving, and they wouldn't care about these external, no one cares, who cares? They would not be, we would have no problem if we would have experiences like the real Madhava. I mean, that's very high, we don't always need to, I can go to the highest. And kirtan, my dear devotees, can give such an experience. Sitting in kirtan, participating, washes away our hesitation. It gives us courage and strength, inner strength, to move forward with strength. Having said this, I will end here at this moment. I cannot take any questions. May all your questions be answered by the Lord in the heart when you do your kirtan. You need the experience.